taught the last couple of weeks, and we appreciate that. For me to do a quarter, I just travel. Seems like we're traveling a good bit, so just really appreciate his willingness to teach and to fill in and his flexibility around that. When I've been teaching, we've been studying Christian attitudes and Christian attitudes towards various topics. And the last one we did, I know it probably seems like 3 months ago, but it was just 3 weeks ago, was the Christian attitude towards social media and how we should think about social media. And I want to come back to a topic that's probably not right on the tip of the tongue, like social media or, you know, AI. We might do one on AI. We'll see. I have to think about that a little bit more. But one that I think is just as interesting that we don't really talk about as much in the church is, I think we should, and that is the Christian's attitude towards angels. And so what should your attitude be when you think about angels? And what role do angels play in your life? Do they play a role? And, you know, how often each day you think about social media, or each day you might think about forgiveness or, some of the other things that we've talked about, but how often do you think about angels? And should we be thinking about them at all? Do we need to? Sometimes I've asked the question in the past to kind of remind us, are you a body with a spirit or a spirit with a body? Right. And what's the purpose of thinking about that? Yeah, are you a worldly being? Are you a body? And you just, I anchor on this, right? And I have a spirit. Or are you a spirit who's temporarily, easy for me to say, dwelling in this, right? And the longer I'm in this, I'm getting a little less fond of it. Right? It was all good in my 20s. It's kind of go along. It's kind of losing the appeal that it had at one point. It's not as fantastic as I once thought it was. Okay. So we're really, when you study, and we've done this in the past, we're a spirit, right? When you're conceived, You are God's. You become an eternal being. An eternal being is created at that point. You're eternal. We're all eternal. This is it, but you are. Right? And so we will live for eternity. And that's kind of what, everybody wants, right? People want to live, but people want to live forever in this. I don't want to live forever in this. This body. And we get that because in Genesis 1:26, what does that tell us there? Genesis 1:26. So I want to read that. Take a moment, I guess, to read.
We're made in the image of God.
We're made in the image of God. Is anybody there? What does it say? It's exactly right, Harry. All right, so God says, let us, the Godhead, make man and woman, obviously, in our image, in our likeness. So does God look like me? I hope not. All right, so it's about the spirit. It's the spiritual part, right? We're told in In John 4, 23 and 24, what does that say? John 4, 23 and 24. Okay, are you there? Yeah, that God is what? He's a spirit. Right? He's spirit. And we are to worship him in spirit and in truth. What we learn in this body is we can kind of tap into at least a couple of sides, right? You can kind of tap into your physical and let that dwell and drive your mind primarily. Or you can tap in to what's spiritual, to your spirit. Sometimes in corporations, and one of the things I do a lot of executive coaching for leaders and things, and you know, and they talk about sometimes, right, that you have leaders who lead with their head, and then you have leaders who might lead more with their what? Their heart, right? Are you a head leader or are you a heart leader, right? You can tap in. It's all in the same person, but some leaders are very, just the data, the information, there's no connection. It's just, right? And then other people lead with their heart. It's all about, they pull on that part of connecting with people and inspiration and engagement and those types of things. And to be a great leader, you kind of need to go back and forth between the two. But to be a great Christian, you actually don't need to tap in that much to the physical. Okay. You can understand the physical, right? But basically, you need to tap into what's spiritual. And when you worship God, you tap in this morning as we worship. You know, it's hard, right? Because this thing's right here. It's like we're in it. It's like, you know, it's hard. You can't just shed this, right? It's you take it with you everywhere you go, right? But it's really trying to focus on the spiritual part and worshiping him with our spirit and understanding the spiritual things. But we're surrounded by everything that's physical. Now, on this earth, what is our battle as Christians? What is our, as spiritual beings, again, thinking of yourself as a spiritual being, what is your battle here? Separating body and spirit. So what are you battling? Satan? I'm sorry? Worldly things. Are you in a battle? Do you feel like you're in a battle? Do you feel like you got to focus on anything, or is this?
I learned years ago when you quit worrying and quit batting, you say it's God, so he moves on to somebody else. He don't worry about people because he's already God. We're in a constant fight, spiritualized with Satan.
Okay.
The world is more deep.
Look at Ephesians 6. Can someone read Ephesians chapter 6? Through 13. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of the darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to
So who do you battle? Satan and his evil forces. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Now, is this a first century thing? I mean, didn't miracles and all that stuff go away in the first century? And I mean, isn't that what all the... The evil didn't go away. I mean, when was the last time you wrestled with a spiritual being? I mean, you battle with a spiritual... But I mean, I'm not talking that you've got a... You know, I mean, I want you to... When was the last time you battled with a spiritual being? Are you battling? Is it what it says? Are you battling against yourselves?
It
don't. Okay, so it doesn't say that. Okay, so when Satan tempts you. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So I want us to think about this. This is why we're having this class over the next, you know, this week, and it will certainly go into next week. Lord willing, from here. I don't think we think about it enough. I think this is one of our primary, as Christians... I mean, if this applies to us, then I believe it does.
I think in today's world, we fight just battle daily.
Okay. And how?
I mean, through those things you were talking about earlier, social media, society, everything.
And is it society and social media? I agree with you, by the way. But is it society and social media? Is it, you know, Zuckerberg and...
I think your mom was too. This week, I know me and Gary battle against each other and everything else going on. It seems like he's been throwing more darts than usual.
That was feedback, Gary.
So
just so you know.
I've had a lot more praying and a lot more keeping my tongue.
Okay. Yeah, Sandy. But yeah, so we'll kind of go there a little bit later.
Okay.
Okay, just to say, so what are we talking about? I mean, yeah, go ahead again.
I mean, just as we always say, God can use anybody to accomplish his plans. Satan can use people to accomplish his plans.
Yeah, so I mean, what do you think about that? You know, those online, if you can't hear, it's the comment was if God can use people to accomplish his plans, can Satan and his angels use people to accomplish their plans? Dwayne?
Well, I was just going to say that in a lot of ways, it happens every day. When you make a decision, something right instead of do something wrong. You have fought a battle in war. And when you make a decision, maybe that you are going to do something wrong. And for that particular case, you've lost the battle. But fortunately, with God's help, we can come back and be forgiven for that and then battle on. But it's a constant bombardment, particularly today, from social media, from the news, from what goes on all over the world. We see evil constantly. And although every now and then you'll hear about something good, but not like you used to. And it's a struggle every day to do something that you should do rather than even sometimes something you might want to do.
Okay.
Because sin is not always something that you just, oh, no, yeah, forget. Because there are things that as humans we see and we're tempted, just like Eve was.
So I'm going to come to that. Just one second. And in a minute, though, I want to separate, if there is a separation, between your internal dialogue and trying to choose right and wrong, and you being influenced by a heavenly host. Okay? I think there's a difference. But we'll come to that. Go ahead. I think they can be different. I think they're all come from the same place, though. So it gets back, I think, a little bit to what Sandy's saying. So some are through rulers or authorities or through actual spiritual hosts, but it's all from the influence of evil or bad, right? Or through Satan or through, you know. Where does good come from? A little bit of the good comes from God. All good comes from God. We're told that. Every good and perfect gift. Everything that's good comes from God.
Everything comes from God. Right?
And then it's what isn't. Follow me. And when you think, when we'll come back to the garden, you mentioned Eve in just a minute here. But when you think about the garden and the way God created, everything was good. Health was good. Life was good. Man's view of things was good. It was pure. It was all good. Until Satan introduced what wasn't good, right? He started to deceive. He started to confuse. He started to, you know, cause people to... Then they started to have something in their own mind. Okay, and we'll come back to this. Let's keep going, because I think it might get clearer as we go. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13. What does that say? 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13. Someone will read that out loud.
Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it.
Thank you. So what is this verse telling us?
There's a way out. God has provided us a way.
Okay, there's a way out. What else is it telling us? Okay. So he's telling you, He'll make sure that you have a way of escape and that you'll be able to bear it, that you'll have the strength, right? That you'll have the needed strength. But what else is he telling you at the beginning? Not the very beginning.
You need God.
Okay, you need God, but what's God going to do for you?
He's not going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you can stand.
Okay, he's not going to let you be tempted beyond what you can stand. Now, is that just because he won't tempt you as much?
No, God doesn't tempt us.
Okay, that was a trick question. So we learn in James, right, that God does not God cannot be what? James tells us God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he what? Tempt any man. He can't even be tempted, nor does he tempt anyone. So it's not God who's doing the tempting. So what is God doing for you here? He's offering you protection from who? From Satan, from evil. Which implies what? Well, no, before that. There's evil trying to tempt you. That he will not allow. What does that conjure in your mind? That God is faithful. He's faithful to who? To you. Why? Because you're his child. He's faithful. If you align with God, he is faithful. As your father, he's faithful to you. He will watch over you. He will protect you. He will take care of you to make sure what? To take all temptation away? No. And why? Because we've already talked about this in another class, that we're here to choose. That's why he set this up, and that's a whole other class. But he set this up because he only wants those for eternity to worship him in spirit forever and ever, who actually want to be there. And he's watching like he watched Abraham lift that sword up, that knife up over Isaac. It was clear that he was choosing God. And this is your Isaac moment for 70, 80, whatever God gives you here, years. You need to choose. But in that, so he's going to allow you to be tempted, because that's part of it. If there was no temptation, then there's no choice. Right? If you just walk down and it was the Garden of Eden with no Satan ever, there is no choice. You just live life in paradise. Well, this is far from paradise, if you haven't noticed, spiritually. So he doesn't allow you to be tempted beyond what you, very specific, which also implies he knows you, and he knows you, and he knows you. And he knows you, just like he knows the hairs on your head. For some of us, that's easier for him than others. Okay? But he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Which conveys that there is a tempter. Now, is the tempter, how does that show up? Where's your battle? Like, is it? So think about Adam and Eve. Think about Eve. They're told not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? You can eat of any tree of the garden, but of that tree, the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. Satan comes along. Well, you know, you could probably eat it. It's not too bad. Where does Satan play the role with Eve? Like, where? I mean, role. What? Where is his part, and what is her part? So, how does that work, and how does that work with you today? So he tells her, surely you won't die. Okay, so he suggested that to her. She saw that. She heard that. And then what does she have to do after that? Then what goes on?
She has to tempt Adam.
But before that,
she thinks about it.
She thinks about it, because what does the Bible say? I should probably go there. Okay, let's go to Genesis 3 for a second. Instead of me, because in Genesis 3, all right, Patrick, it's at the beginning. I'm trying to get there. Holy smoke. Okay, he tempts her, surely won't die. Verse 5, for God knows, blah, blah. In verse 6, so first he tells her, right, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. Verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, well, it doesn't look bad, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. Now, was that thinking part the heavenly hosts? No, that's her, right? So when you're contemplating things, that's not like Satan in your head telling you. Now, she's thinking about what Satan said, so from that aspect, but it's not literally, you're not demon possessed. You don't have a demon or Satan in your head in the sense that he's literally in your head controlling you in that way, but you are reflecting on the temptation that he has put in front of you. You're thinking about it. You're dwelling on it. You're rationalizing it. Right? I just want to make that difference. So every time, yeah, that's part of the battle, is controlling our thoughts, renewing our minds, Romans 12 tells us. But the confrontation, there is a confrontation. And she confronted him. Now, in this case, it was very, also, it was in a physical manifestation. But did he come and say, I'm Satan, let me tell you all about my history? I just got cast down, and we're going to look at this, by the way, in just a few moments, or next week, or whenever we get to it. Okay? Because he was cast down, and he was cast down to where? Well, look at that. He's cast down to the earth, which means the earth was created. So he was cast down to earth, and he shows up, but he doesn't show up with his pitchfork and, you know, he shows up as a serpent. She's just out, and this serpent talks to her. So when we're out there, it's not going to show up necessarily in the way that we're expecting it. It's not always going to look like what we think it might look like. And Satan and his hosts can use various things. Go ahead.
I was saying, we need to remember too, what Satan does is external to us. I mean, we have sovereignty over our mind and body. It's our thoughts, our actions, our behaviors that open the door, allow it in, invite it in, provide opportunity for it to get in.
That's right. We have sovereignty over ourselves. And we know that because of the passage that we just read that said God will not allow you to be taken over. He won't allow you to be tempted more than you can bear. You could be taken over. You could become a slave to. But he won't allow it to be more than you can bear. So there's a choice there. And there's always a way out.
Think about Job.
Okay, Job's another one. We'll get to this.
People think it's an easy choice. If it's easy, then you have to do it. It's not easy. You've got to fight. It's a battle. A little struggle.
It's a battle. Where I want us to get to, I want you to consider is, I don't think we think about it enough. I think we go through life and we're sheep. And I'm out in the field, you know, I don't know how I got here. Sometimes the grass is great, sometimes the grass isn't so good. I can't see the big picture. I don't see the wolves in the, you know, in the bushes. You know, the dogs do, but I don't. You know, I'd run up and lick the dog. I just have no idea what's going on. And we kind of go through this life and we don't realize what you just looked at over there, that was a wolf. And it's not friendly. And it wants to destroy you. And we see it, and, you know, God sees it. The shepherd sees it. And he gets it. And he knows it wants to do harm to you. But he wants to protect you, and he wants to make sure that you have enough protection to where you can make a choice. You can stay with the flock, or you can take off. And if you take off and you get out there and you really want to come back, he'll go looking for you. He'll even leave the others to go find you. But if you really want to go, he'll let you go. And it's not going to be fun. So I want you to think, do you really believe in an active spiritual realm? Do you really believe that's going on today? Do you really believe that there are angels, good or bad, impacting your life? Directly. Now I want you to think about, do you believe in the providence of God? Do you believe God works in your life? And how do you think he works in your life? Do you think he just works in... I mean, we know that he has ministering angels. And we're going to look at some of this stuff. That do his work. So let's just want you to keep thinking that. Let's look at Revelation 12. Revelation 12. Just better to do it this way. Someone read Revelation 12, 7 through 9. So what does this tell us at the beginning of 7?
That there was a war in heaven.
A war in heaven. What do you think that was like? I mean, have you ever thought about that? Have you read about the instances when a man sees an angel on earth? What's the typical response?
Fear.
I mean, they like drop to the ground. Why is that? Why do you think they drop to the ground? They're powerful. In some cases, holy. I mean, they're terrifying. I mean, in the sense of just their power. You don't see, I mean, these are powerful beings. Right. We know that when Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden, what did God do?
Put a cherubim out there.
He put a couple cherubim, you know, out there to guard it. All right? They're not coming back. You're not going past them. Do you have a comment?
Well, yeah, it makes me think it's a little terrifying, actually. The two men who came to visit Lot and saw they were angels. And yes, everybody who, when an angel was not disguised, when they came in their form, yeah, people don't even look at them. What's terrifying about that is those people didn't realize these were angels. And they weren't looking at these people.
Yes.
And so, I mean, it brings questions as to, I mean, if you don't recognize, you know, the angels like that, the good angels, why do we, if those people ended, why do we think we're going to recognize the good or evil?
Yep, and we'll look at that. We will look at that. I just want us to think about a war in heaven. I mean, when you think about war, what do you think of? I mean, when the Bible, I mean, when there's war, this isn't a disagreement. This is war. A war broke out. I mean, think about that. In heaven, who's there? I mean, God is there. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they are there, and a war breaks out. Michael and his angels fought with who? The dragon and his angels. But they did not prevail. I just want you to think about angels fighting each other. I mean, you just think of the power. That has to be horrifying from a human perspective. I mean, just seeing an angel is scary, right? But I mean, you think about these angels. I don't know if I have the verse. Who was it? Someone helped me out. And the angel stopped and said, "Take your shoes off. This is holy ground." I'm having a brain spasm. But anyway, in that case, that was the commander of the Lord's army, it says, I remember. And we'll look at that. I mean, he's an angel, a commander of the Lord's army. It said, before you come up this, you need to take your shoes off. This is holy ground, right? But these angels fought the devil and his angels, which implies, you know, this isn't just the devil. This is the devil and probably not two. Okay? This probably isn't the devil and two others who kind of decided to go rogue. This was angels, right? And they fought, and they did not prevail, verse 8, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Now, this is serious. So interesting, how is Satan referred to here in verse 9? The great dragon. I mean, Satan is referred to, he's powerful. And we'll look in Ezekiel next week about Satan. But he was a big deal. I mean, he was a powerful angel. And evidently, there are differences in angels. They're not all exactly the same. Just like we're different, he has created them different. It's a verse that says that the Lord calls them by name. Like, he'll call them out by name. Right? He knows them. And the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. Implying what there? What does that imply? To deceive the whole world, what does he need to be doing?
Leading the
He's engaging with the world. Right? It's not the one time. He doesn't deceive us by the whole, hey, you can eat this fruit, and that one story, and now we're all confused and we don't know what's going on. Okay, I think we can get over that. Right? We can figure that out. But he's constantly deceiving. Who deceives the whole world, and he was cast where? He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So not just him. All of his angels who fought with him and rebelled. There was not a place in heaven found for them any longer. They can't reside there. They're out. And they've been cast to the earth. So when you think about that, you've got to think about, did they get pulled back out of the earth? Or does God just make sure that they don't have more power than they should have here, like Job? All right, when we look at Job, did God not put parameters on what Satan could do? He did. He did not allow Job to be tempted beyond what Job could bear. I don't think I could bear what Job could bear. Job was an upright man. He was just. I'm not as just as Job. I don't think I'm as good as Job. And I think my threshold's a lot less, and God knows who I am, and he's make sure that I'm not tempted beyond what I can bear. Look at Luke 10, 17 through 20. This will be our last passage for today. Can someone read Luke 10, 17 through 20?
Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
All right, thank you. So it says in verse 17, then the 70 returned with joy. And if you go back up and look at the beginning of this chapter in verse 1, who are the 70? They're 70 what?
Disciples.
So Christ makes 70 disciples. There are 70 disciples here, and they come back. So he sends them out, and they come back, and they're amazed. Right? It's like, Lord, you sent us out. When they come back, they're like, even the demons are subject. Did they say subject to us? What do they say in verse 17? Right, to your name, to us in your name. By your power, they're even subject. And then he said, where does Christ's head go right away? He said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I'm going to think about, you think about a lightning bolt. How long does it take for a lightning bolt to come out of the sky and hit the earth? Let me tell you, when God was done, he was done. Okay? And they're gone. You're out. He let it go, and he saw enough, and Satan was out, and all of his angels. And Jesus said, I saw that happen. And I know his demons, his angels, they're down here. And yeah, you have, but he actually, then he goes on to say, but don't rejoice that they're subject to you because they're here. But again, don't focus on all of this here in your physical and everything here, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven, that you're my disciple. Be amazed with that. Don't be amazed at the fact that they're subject to you and that I've given you power over them. All right. Think about it this week. See if you notice anything this week. Don't just go through this week like a sheep. Understand what's just beyond the tall grass. Thanks.